The reading is from Matthew 11, starting at verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
So there's been 400 years of nothingness. God hasn't spoken once to the people of Israel. Not once. 400 years of utter silence. And in that time, there's been lots of political uprisings. There's been lots of people who have tried to take over the powers of the day in Israel. There's oppression over the whole of Israel, whether it be the Romans or other people who've been persecuting Israel as a place. And then into the mix of all this, suddenly, this crazy man who wears like camel hair and eats locusts, this crazy man in the desert starts saying, "Repent! Change your ways! Start following God! Start living what you believe! All these things you've heard the prophets say for thousands of years, all these things the prophets have said in the word of God for hundreds and thousands of years, repent, because God's kingdom is coming. It's coming soon. It's coming now. Get your heart ready. Are you ready for the kingdom of God to come?" And people start flocking in droves to come to John the Baptist, to come and be baptized in the Jordan River, being dunked under the water, a sign of being washed, of being cleansed, of all the things that we've done wrong. Repenting and saying, "I want to follow God's way, not my way." John is saying, turn your direction from living for yourself and start living for God. Because God's kingdom is coming and he wants you to be part of it in all that it means. Now for some people, they'll have heard this and gone, "We've been here before. We've heard this great hope of change before. It's all sounded great in the past before. We've heard all this, we've heard this great excitement, and it always came to nothing. We've had the Maccabean revolt when we thought that things were going to change and be different. We've seen other leaders rise up to try and take over Israel again and throw out the Romans, but no, it's always come to nothing." The people of Israel have been living with a hope for such a long time. And they've been living with this hope, and every time it seems like it's almost there, it then crashes down around them. So here's John in the desert saying, "Change is coming! The kingdom of God's coming!" And so some people are going, "I'm going to get ready." But you can imagine other people going, "Really? Another madman? He's been out in the desert. He's been eating locusts. He's probably not eating enough sugar. He's probably got a bit too much sun on his head. Gone a bit mad and a bit crazy. Poor old John the Baptist." But he was saying, it's going to happen. It's going to come. And then alongside of this, into the mix, Jesus arrives. And Jesus starts teaching the people of Israel the ways of God. Jesus starts saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's come. The kingdom of God is here. It's arrived. And he starts healing the sick. And he starts feeding those who are hungry. He starts touching the untouchable. He starts valuing the people who no one values in society. He starts a quiet revolution of love. He starts a revolution of love, which doesn't seek to try and overthrow the establishment. It seeks to change people's hearts. I say, when people's hearts are changed, the whole of the society we live in changes. That when you and I are changed, the world we live in is changed. So often we want the whole organisation to change and be different. We want the political systems to be changed and be different. And Jesus was saying, the way of the kingdom of God is that you are the change. That you have the power to change the world around you. And the power that you have is the power of love. The power to love people in a radical way. To see the people that society excludes and show them value and worth. To see the people that no one wants to touch because of their illness or their disease. And to touch them and say, you have worth to God. You are loved by God. To see the people who can't clothe themselves and provide them with clothing. To provide shelter for the homeless. To feed the poor. To bring good news to all that you meet. Jesus starts this quiet revolution of love. And it doesn't look like any revolution that's gone before in the last 400 years. It's not like that at all. It looks completely different. So we skip ahead to our reading today. And John the Baptist has been preaching this message of repent because God's kingdom's coming. And he's seen Jesus living this kingdom life. But then he's in prison. And all the hopes that he had, maybe, have suddenly been dashed because suddenly he's in prison. And surely when the kingdom of God comes, it will liberate the people of God. Surely it will overthrow the establishment. Surely it will overthrow the powers of life. And here's John in prison. And we start maybe hearing what he's thinking of going, is this what I was talking about? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Is he actually the one that I'm preparing the way for, that the scriptures said in Isaiah? And we start seeing John experience doubt. And doubt is something which is common to all human beings and is a natural part of life. We're all going to doubt at times about Jesus. We're all going to doubt whether or not he is God or not. We're all going to have moments where we think, really? Is this it? John's in prison because his experience doesn't match what he thought was going to take place. It doesn't match what he maybe thought was going to take place. Maybe he spent too much time listening to the Jews of the day saying, when the Messiah comes, he will be a mighty warrior. When the Messiah comes, he will come triumphant and he will cast aside these Romans and we'll be a free people again. Maybe he spent too long listening to what everyone else was saying. Maybe he is a prophet, even though he'd heard God. Maybe he started to lose sight of what the truth of God was, about who the Messiah would be. See, all the Jews thought that the Messiah was going to be a warrior king, like David. They all thought he was going to come and lead a mighty revolution of might and power and of war. But Jesus starts a revolution of love. And people just can't get their heads around that, because it doesn't seem to fit with what they expected God to do. So John's in prison. He seems to be doubting what Jesus is or who Jesus is. But he also starts doubting who he is. He goes, sends his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the Messiah? Or is there one still to come? Now, John the Baptist was the one who was called to be the one preparing the way for the Lord. But maybe he looked at Jesus and went, his ministry is better than mine. Maybe he's the one who's meant to be the forerunner for the Messiah. Maybe he's the prophet in the desert crying out. Maybe it wasn't me at all. Maybe actually I got it completely wrong. Maybe it wasn't me, because their ministry seems better than my ministry. He starts questioning his own identity, his own calling. Not only does he question who Jesus is, he questions his identity and his calling. So what does he do? He sends his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the one to come? Or should we expect someone else? And Jesus says this, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The fact that the lame walk, the blind see, that I bring good news to the poor. Go and tell John what you see and what you hear. What's Jesus saying there? He's saying to John, John, you are someone who grew up the child of priests. You know the way of the scriptures of the Jewish law. You know what the scriptures say. He's saying, John, don't listen to what people are telling you. Go back to the word of God and see what the word of God says. Because the word of God says that the Messiah who would come would heal the lame, make blind eyes see, proclaim good news to the poor. Jesus is saying to John, go back. Stop listening to what other people are saying about what the Messiah should be and go back to what the word of God says the Messiah will be. A Messiah who comes to bring freedom, not in a political sense, but comes to bring freedom in a spiritual sense, but also in a practical way. You haven't got to live like this anymore. He's saying, John, you got it right. And then Jesus goes on in the passage to then reaffirm John's calling. He says, John, why did you out see John the Baptist? Why did you go over there to see him? Because he said something which was true. He was a word from God. He was a prophet from God. He reaffirms the calling and the identity of John. He says, John, you were right the entire time. I am the one who's coming. But your expectation of what the kingdom of God was going to look like, that's the mistake you made. That you based it on the tradition of the time, the culture that people were speaking about at the time, and not on what the scripture said, not on what the prophets were saying the Messiah would look like. So Jesus reaffirms his identity and his calling and says, yes, you are John. You are a prophet of God speaking truth into the life of Israel. You see, when we have doubts, when we are unsure whether we should be doing things in church, am I good enough to be doing that? Or looking at someone else and going, but they're so much better at that than me. Surely I can't do this as well. When we have doubts, the first thing we often do is we turn away from Jesus and we go, I'm unworthy. I'm not sure about this anymore. I don't want to go there anymore. What does John do? John brings his doubts, his crisis of faith. He brings it to Jesus. Says, Jesus, who are you? I thought this about you, but it doesn't seem to be matching up with what I'm experiencing right now. Who are you? He brings his doubts to Jesus. And bringing his doubts to Jesus, he finds the answer saying, go back to the truth of God. Go back to the word of God. And Jesus reaffirms his identity and his calling. When we doubt and we then leave God's presence, what we're doing is we don't give God an opportunity to reinstate our calling and identity. But we come to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, I'm so confused. I thought this, but it doesn't seem to match up. Jesus can say, let me expand what you see and what you hear of me. You see, because when we doubt, it's often because our perspective of God is too narrow. We create a lovely box for God to go in, and God looks like this. Because my experience up to this point has been this. And what doubt does, it's a great opportunity for us to recognize that the box that we built for God is always too small. The fact that God is so much bigger than what we think he's going to do. And that God usually always works completely differently to how the world thinks he should work. So we pray to God and say, God, I want X, Y, and Z. And it doesn't happen. And we go, well, why hasn't that happened? Because our box we built there is that God's a vending machine. If we punch in the right numbers, if we pray enough and we fast enough, we'll get the answer. And God's going, what? What sort of box is that? So we start doubting that prayer works. And in that place of doubt, we can bring that question to God and say, God, I thought prayer worked. And God says, look back at the Bible. Come back to me. What's prayer about? Prayer is about a relationship with God. It's not about a vending machine where if you type in the right code, you get the right thing out the other end. See, we create boxes of what we think God should do. And in the life of our church, we can go, we've had all the expectations, all these hopes in the past, and it's never come to anything. Or actually, is the answer, it never came to what we put God into. It never came to what we thought God should do in our church. It never came to what we thought God should be doing in our community. And God was going, I've been there the whole time. But were you prepared to see and hear what I'm actually doing? Are you prepared to open your eyes to see what God's doing? Not try and say, God, you're clearly doing this. And go, what is God doing? What is God saying to us? And I've heard people in this church say to me, oh, we've heard that word of knowledge so many times before. It always comes up. Whenever things are happening, this always comes out. Or this verse of scripture always comes out. And you're going, of course it's going to keep coming out if we haven't listened to it the first time. Because God is saying, are you going to see and are you going to hear? And until we see and hear, we're not going to experience the kingdom of God. You see, we can spend so much time waiting for it to happen that we never do anything about it. How did Jesus bring the kingdom of God into being on earth? Did he wait for it? No. He lived it. He lived it. And as he lived the way of God, as he turned and followed Jesus, as he turned and he followed God's way, as he walked the way of God on earth, it brought God's kingdom into being. If we as a church want to see the kingdom of God take place in our community and our lives, we haven't got to start waiting for it more and more and more. We've just got to start living like we should be as Christians. We've just got to start doing it. Not going, oh, hopefully at some point it might take place and, oh, we've been here before and it might be nice. It's going, no. When we individually start taking God seriously, that's the call of John the Baptist in Scripture, take God seriously because the kingdom of God's coming. When we do that and we turn our life, when we repent, which means just to change direction, I was going my way, I'm now going God's way. But it's more than just repenting, it's then living that life. It's like the iPad earlier on, the access code. Repenting, put the code in. But experiencing the fullness of God is walking in that. And as you live the life of God's kingdom, it comes into being around you. It comes into play. That's what Jesus did. He went, I value the unvalued. And by reaching out to the people who had disease, touching them, showing them that they had worth, the kingdom of God manifests. He's saying the kingdom of God is like this, and I'm going to demonstrate it to you. We have the ability to bring God's kingdom into everything that we do by just following Jesus' way. And it brings the power of God into being. Skipping forward into Revelation chapter 3. Starting at verse 14, it says this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Lord, Amen, the faithful and true witness of the rulers of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have adequate wealth, I do not need anything. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. Put on your eyes so that you can see. Those who I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and he with me. To the one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I am victorious and sat down at my Father at his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the voice of the Spirit, hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the churches. Life's great. It's wonderful. You've got everything you might need. What's the need for God? We want something spectacular to take place because then it'll make us feel warm and cozy inside. He's saying to Laodicea, church, I know your deeds. You do some fantastic things. But actually, you're just kind of on the edge. You're a bit apathetic. You can take it or leave it. You're okay. In your personal life, you don't necessarily need Jesus. But he's nice to have there as a bit of a safety blanket. What he says to them, he says, no, stop it. He says, either be hot or cold. Either be all for this or not for it at all. Either start living this life of God or don't do it at all. Don't be in the middle, because God hates that. God hates when we're just on the fence kind of going, well, maybe. You're either living this life for God or you're not. Make up your mind. That's the call of John the Baptist in Scripture. He's saying, the kingdom of God is coming. Are you in or are you out? Are you with God's kingdom or are you not going to be with God's kingdom? Get your heart ready. Sort it out. And what does the Scripture say there? He says, I want you to have eyes to see. I want you to have ears to hear. And he says, if you hear me knocking at the door and you put it into action, you open the door, I'll enter in and I'll eat with you and I'll give you the right to sit on the throne. What's the throne a picture of? The throne is a picture of God's kingdom. When you hear and when you see and you act and respond to that, you enter into a place of authority in God's kingdom. You join Jesus on the throne of God and you start living a kingdom life empowered by God. You see this? The call of God to us today is say, open your eyes, open your ears. Stop expecting me to do things how you want them to take place and recognize that my way is often different to your way. Don't worry about doubt, because doubt is an opportunity to expand your perspective of who God is. Don't worry about questioning who God might be, because God's big enough to take it. He's big enough to take our questions. But most importantly, the call of John the Baptist is saying, take this seriously, because God's kingdom is coming. God's kingdom is here. Have eyes to see and ears to hear. When you're unsure about what's going on in your life, ask God to open your eyes and open your ears and help you act upon that, to open the door to him afresh, so that we can enter into a place of kingdom authority, sitting with Jesus on the throne. Are we going to be lukewarm, or are we going to be in this, fully in this, not just kind of tone the water when it suits us? Are we going to live life for God's kingdom or not? The challenge this morning is to make up your mind. Do you want to repent? Turn from your way and go God's way, but fully walk into that with all that you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it can sometimes be quite harsh, it can sometimes be quite tough, but Lord, we thank you your word is true and honest. And that, Lord, just like Jesus points John the Baptist back to the Scriptures, Lord, we point ourselves back to the word that you say in your Scriptures. Lord, let it change our hearts. Lord, let us not be lukewarm. Lord, as we come to Christmas, let us remember what it is that we are remembering and celebrating. That you, Christ incarnate, came into this world to bring a revolution of love, to show us a new way to live, to bring a kingdom of God which values everyone, that gives everyone importance, where even the least becomes the greatest. Lord God, help us make up our minds. Amen.